I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. We'll start the program today by talking about that puzzling story that spans the Washington, D.C. suburbs to Pakistan, where five young men, all U.S. citizens, all Muslim but of different backgrounds, have been detained on suspicion of trying to link up with a terrorist training camp. In a few minutes, the writer and religious scholar Reza Aslan will give us his perspective. He's written extensively about Islam and youth culture, and he'll join us to give his take. But first, we go to NPR's counterterrorism correspondent Dina Temple-Raston to get the latest on this fast-moving story. She joins us from New York City. Dina, let me just briefly recount what has been reported. We mentioned that these five young men were detained in Pakistan on Wednesday. They range in age from 19 to 25, all U.S. citizens, not all of them born in the U.S. They apparently left the country without telling their families, but after their disappearance at the end of November, concerned relatives contacted a civil rights group, a group oriented toward the concerns of Muslim Americans, who then put them in touch with the authorities. And then the Pakistani government was tipped off by locals who became suspicious about this group of Americans. So, Dina, what exactly set off suspicions?
Well, there was the problem of having this group of Americans who had suddenly come to live in this government compound in Punjab province. And basically, the neighbors who were around there were suspicious about why they were there. The particular area they were in has started to be a sort of a conduit or a hub to get a lot of would-be jihadists up into the tribal regions between Afghanistan and Pakistan. So I think that's why it set off alarm bells.
And how is it that how do authorities, both in the U.S. or in Pakistan, what is the basis of their belief about what these young men intended to do?
Well, they left lots of clues. First of all, before they left this country, one of them at least filmed a video which really suggested that he was going to go and fight jihad in Pakistan. So that's one clue. And then they've actually taken a look at their laptop computers and mirrored their hard drives and taken a look at what the young men were looking at on the web. And on the internet, they were downloading videos, for example, of American troops fighting with Taliban. And sort of extremist videos from Pakistani extremists, and were actually in touch through Facebook and YouTube with some Pakistani extremists.
Do you know what strikes you about this story? I want to mention that you also wrote a book called The Jihad Next Door, where you've been thinking about this whole question of alleged homegrown terrorism and what the origins might be and so forth. What strikes you about this story to this point?
Well, I think actually what's really interesting about this one that makes it very different from other, I don't want to say jihadi plots, but basically young men who go overseas, is the variety of backgrounds that are here. You know, you've got somebody from Ethiopia, someone who is of Egyptian background, someone from Eritrea, so, and a Pakistani as well. And nowhere but in America would people with that kind of varied background would end up banding together, even if it is in sort of perhaps an anti-American way to go and fight American troops in Afghanistan.
Well, what are you
and
saying?
I find that really interesting.
It's because people in the past, the previous examples have all been people from the same background, the same ethnic group, the same sort of national heritage.
Virtually. Kind of you take the Somalis in Minneapolis, for example, the young men who went to go and fight in Somalia, they were all Somali. The first instance that we know of this kind of sort of homegrown domestic possible terrorism was in Lackawanna, New York, which is what my book is about, and those were all Yemeni. So we tend to see some sort of coming together of backgrounds, and this time, interestingly, we didn't.
What's next in this case? I understand that none of these men has been charged with any crime to this point, that they've been detained and they're being questioned. What are the next steps?
Yeah, a lot of people are reporting that they were in fact arrested, and they haven't been. I mean, it's not illegal to go to Pakistan. And right now, that looks like that's all they did. It's really unclear whether or not they made contact with people to get into the camps and perhaps were rejected, which has happened before. Basically, you need almost letters of recommendation in order to get into these camps, or whether they were on their way. It's really unclear. I think the next thing we're going to see happen, maybe as soon as this weekend, is the young men will be turned over to U.S. authorities.
For what?
Well, they'll be basically deported. The Pakistanis will say, we don't believe you were here under circumstances that we agree with, so we're turning you over to the Americans, and the Americans will take them.
And then what?
Well, good question. I mean, one of the things I'm hearing from my sources, the FBI, is what do you charge them with? If they didn't go to the camps, what did they do? And I think that's what we're going to try and figure out. We're going to see them trying to figure out now. I mean, apparently the young men are cooperating, so I have a feeling that they're probably saying what their intentions were. But I'm not quite sure what law they broke.
Dina Temple Raston is NPR's counterterrorism correspondent. She's been following the story closely and will continue to do so. We hope she'll keep us up to date. Dina, thank you.
You're very welcome.